jump, shall we start with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to consider your word. We pray that you help us all to understand the importance of it in our lives and to search it and search for the truth. In Christ's name, amen. This time you do not have to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. What I want to speak to you today is called Rightly Dividing the Psalms. And I hope, hopefully by the end of this message, you'll have a way to understand how a believer who is a member of the Church of the Body of Christ can rightly divide the Old Testament in a way which I find to be quite helpful. If you're doing an outline, those of you who take notes, the first point is a brief look at the Psalter, which is considering the history, the authors, and why they are important. The second point would be different ways to divide the Psalms, and those are according to the different types, according to the five main books, and lastly, a way to rightly divide the Psalms by position and experience. And the third point would be considering what has been said. All right, let's begin. The book of Psalms is a book that is much loved by many believers. In this day, there are many people who find much comfort, wisdom, and knowledge contained within the Psalter, which is a term that means a collection of Psalms. The Psalms are not written to me directly. They were written at a point in God's plan when the believer's relationship with God was based upon different things. Yet there are many things that may be gleaned from them. I believe the Psalms are a book in the Bible that even unbelievers have at least heard of. Often there are excerpts from this book and that hang on the walls of many a home in America. It may be the most well-known book in the Bible. At this conference, I would like to consider some things about this book in such a manner as to provide us as believers a way of considering them for our own benefit. I find much useful information within this book, and I hope this study will benefit you in a practical way. First of all, let's consider a brief look at the history of the Psalms. It is the intent of this study to provide a way for the hearer to consider the Psalms in a manner that may be helpful to him in his own study. In order to do this, a brief look at the history and the setting of this book is helpful. For one thing, the book of Psalms is a collection of songs and poems that are often set to verse or sung. They are a collection of these things that have been gathered together in the Word of God for the edification of His children. They were written in times now past by men who followed after God. I believe that God has included them in His Word because of the great things that they may teach any believer and any part of the revelation of God's truth to mankind. We may not in this day understand the way they were sung or the way they were set in verse, yet the wisdom and knowledge that they contain are for anyone who has a heartfelt desire for the things of God. The Hebrew word for Psalms means songs. The word as translated into the Greek means twanging, or the sound that a harp makes when played. The word in English, the word psalter, comes from a Greek word that means harp songs. They were, and still are, a part of Jewish history and worship. Let's consider some of the authors of the Psalms. There are many, many different authors of the Psalms. Some are known and some are unknown. David wrote 73 of the Psalms. Solomon, David's son, wrote 2. Heman and Ethan wrote 1 each. Moses is the author of some of them, and some of them were compiled by certain clans of singers that were gathered together to sing God's praises in Old Testament times. These are the sons of Asaph and the sons of Korah. The Psalms are full of things that are beneficial to meditate and mull over. and often reflect the struggles that we all have in our Christian walk. No matter who the authors were of these songs and poems, they have been included within the Word of God for our edification. The dates of the Psalms run from the day of Moses to the times of David to a time of the exile of Israel from the land during the life of Ezra. Most of them concern a time period when the nation of Israel was still combined as one before the Lord. Some of them are about personal struggles. Some concern the plight of nations. They are all of the truth of God. Why are they important? I believe the book of Psalms is very important, for they speak of the struggles that all who walk with God will have. They contain sound and useful advice concerning things that are of value to all believers and all economies of God. They possess truth about God and man that is the same today as in the days that they were written. To many, a believer reading them is a real benefit and delight. What are some different ways to divide the Psalms? One way you could do it is divisions by types of Psalms. There are many different ways to divide the Psalms. Some prefer to divide them according to the types of Psalms that they are. There are historical Psalms, which deal with the thoughts of the author during events that occurred during the history of Israel. There are personal Psalms that concern events in the personal life of the one composing that song or poem. There are Psalms of praise, Psalms concerning the role of God in nature, social Psalms, which deal with the relationship of men to each other and to his destiny. There are also Psalms known as imprecatory Psalms, which deal with judgment of God upon the wicked. Penitential Psalms concern the remorse of the writer concerning his failures before God. There are many Psalms which are messianic and speak of the coming Messiah promised to Israel. In fact, Christ is spoken of throughout the Psalms in type and picture. Another way of dividing the Psalms is to divide them into five different books. The entire Psalter may be divided into five books, which is why the way I personally prefer to consider them for several reasons. Here briefly is the division of them in this way. It is a way to divide them in a manner in which they seem to divide themselves. Book 1 is from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. Book 2 is from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. Book 3 is from Psalm 73 to Psalm 89. Book 4 begins at Psalm 90 and runs through Psalm 106. And lastly, the fifth book of Psalms begins in Psalm 107 and runs through Psalm 150. Now each book is divided by a benediction or a conclusion followed by an amen, which means I agree, or so let it be. These are natural divisions, and as such, the most reasonable way to divide them. It is interesting to know that these divisions correspond to the first five books of the Bible, or the Pentateuch. In these first five books, written by Moses, the book of Genesis, which is also known as the book of beginnings, which covers the beginning of man, corresponds well with the first book of Psalms. In this first book of Psalms, that is book 1, beginning at Psalm 1 through Psalm 41, there are things that concern the relationship between God and man. Many of them are about the fall and disobedience of man and the final promise of God to redeem him. In Genesis, the first book of Moses, Adam, before the fall, was blessed by God, and that he received every good thing and walked in the blessing of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, we are told, "And God blessed them and said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the earth, and dominion over every creature." In Psalm 1, verse 2, we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Even though Adam had the blessing of God, he rebelled and plunged the human race into a position of sin by disobedience. We read about this in Psalm 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The Lord promises to provide a means to end this rebellion by coming to men as the seed of the woman in Genesis 3, verse 15. And David speaks of this in Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. In the book of Genesis, we read of man, his plague, and then promise. These are also seen in the first book of Psalms. Psalm 30, verses 2 through 4. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. In the first book of the Bible, the entire scope of the human race is presented, from creation to the fall to redemption. All these things are presented in Psalms 1 through Psalm 41 as well. The first book of Psalms concludes in this way, Psalm 41, verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. The second book of Psalms, beginning in Psalm 42 through 72, there are things that correspond to the setting up of Israel as a nation, their deliverance, and the plans that God has for them as a people. This is in a way similar to the events recorded about the history of this nation in the book of Exodus. It is in the book of Exodus that God delivers his people from oppression and calls them out as a people for his name. Exodus chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. In this passage, Moses is speaking concerning the Passover, which is when the Lord separated Israel unto himself. And it shall come to pass, when your children say to you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. In Psalms 47, verses 8 and 9, we read, God reigneth over the heathen, and God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. In this book of Psalms, the second book, God is presented as being the one who chose Israel out from among the wicked nations and delivered them from their afflictions. This book ends with Psalm 72, verses 18 through 20. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Book 3, the third book of Psalms, beginning in Psalm 73 through Psalm 89, corresponds to the book of Leviticus. Many of these Psalms are about the holiness of God and how he rules over all things. In Leviticus, the third book of Moses, there is recorded for us how God ruled over Israel by the law and ordinances. These were given to them from God in the heavens in order to enable a holy God to relate to sinful men. The book of Leviticus speaks of the way God's people are separated unto him, and that they only receive the law of Moses. God separated his people from the wicked in Exodus, and he separates them unto himself in Leviticus. At the end of Exodus, God takes up residence within the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 38, For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And God dwells with them in Leviticus, having set them apart for himself. The third book of Psalms deals with the Lord God dwelling with Israel, his people. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. This book concludes with chapter 89, verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. The fourth book of Psalms, Psalms 90 through 106, many of them deal with the relationship of Israel and the nations, how God's people are to be set apart from all other people. In the book of Numbers, Israel is shown as being set apart from, set out from the nations for God alone. In Numbers, the nation of Israel is counted out or set apart for the service to the Lord. Numbers chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, and the tabernacle of the congregation. Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered the people. The Lord had called Israel out for himself and numbered them from all the nations of the earth. Psalm 90, verse 17. And the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Psalm 90 is written by Moses, the man called of God to lead his people out of Egypt and set them apart for himself. This book concludes with Psalm 106, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say Amen. Praise ye the Lord. In the fifth book of Psalms, which begins in Psalm 107, ends with Psalm 150, it deals with God and His Word. It is in the fifth book of Moses that the nation of Israel is given the Word of God, containing the laws and commandments that were to be for Israel alone. In this book, Israel is instructed to be faithful to God and to His Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The fear of the Lord and the resulting blessing of keeping his commandments are in this book of Psalms. Psalm 128, verse 1 and verse 5. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. This book concludes with Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. As far as the nation of Israel is concerned, I believe that the first five books of the Psalms closely parallel the first five books of the Bible. This is a good thing to bear in mind in the study of these songs to God. And now, a way to rightly divide the Psalms. I find these parallels between the books of the Psalms and the first books of the Bible to be a fascinating way to consider them. However, I understand that I am not part of the nation of Israel. I am the new man, spoken of in the latter epistles of Paul. Because this is true, there must be a manner of rightly dividing these great truths that are contained within the Psalms. One of the greatest errors that a member of the Church of the Mystery could make would be to fail to consider the parts of the Scripture that are not to them directly, but are for them. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. Because he does this, I understand that I'm not to limit myself to only his revelation, but I am to study the word of truth and to learn how to rightly divide the entire word. a way to rightly divide the Psalms by position and experience. The most important things that we as believers should always understand is the relationship between our position and our experience. We are given our position by an act of God upon our lost souls. Our walk or our experience should strive to reflect our position. The attitudes expressed by any saint of God in Scripture reflect attitudes that all believers have. In Job, perhaps the oldest book written, Elihu speaks of things that every true believer understands. In chapter 33, starting at the end of verse 12 and verse 27 and 30, Elihu says, God is greater than man. He looketh upon men. And if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. A proper understanding of these things is what I believe all saints of God possess. Paul speaks of these same things, found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11, 18, and 19. He says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. These attitudes are found anywhere in Scripture, and the believer can learn much from those who possess them. David, the author of most of the Psalms, knew God. In fact, God refers to him as a man after his own heart. The believer in this day can learn much concerning his position and experience with his Lord from him. Those of us who have been given an understanding of the new man in Paul's post-Acts books should look at the position and the experience of those who came before us in order to glean what our attitudes should be concerning our relationship with God and our walk before men. Position and experience, a way to use the Old Testament. And this study in the book of Psalms was chosen in order to show a way to glean truth from the Old Testament. That it was not written directly to us directly. Okay, start over. In this study, the book of Psalms was chosen in order to show a way to glean truth from the Old Testament that was not written to us directly. I believe that there are many today that believe in order to understand the Scriptures that were not to them directly, they must reckon themselves to be spiritual Israel. In so doing, they fail to understand the intent of the revelation of Paul in introducing the hidden mystery of the new man. Hopefully, upon the conclusion of this study, you have gleaned a way to gather the fruit of truth that is ours throughout all Scripture. It is my intent to show you a way to rightly divide all Scripture in order to find pure truth for the new man. I believe that position and experience are the key to understanding how to use the Scriptures that are not to us, but are for us as members of the body of Christ. Position and experience in the Psalms. Dividing the Psalms into their five books will enable us to better understand the truth that they contain, if we consider the events that are common ground of each book. I understand that I am not of the house of Israel, therefore I have a different position with God than that of these people. How can the things contained in this book and in the rest of the books contained in the Psalms be a benefit to me as a believer in this day? My position as the new man and as possessor of the fullness of God gives me a position that is in some ways similar to that of the faithful of the nation of Israel. I am set apart from all others. I have been separated unto God. I have the Godhead living within me. God has seen fit to create in me a new nature as an entire new man spiritually. My experience in this position is reflected in the attitudes of the faithful of the Old Testament. Being part of the fullness of God, I am not under the physical laws and ordinances of the nation of Israel. These are the pictures. But the body is of Christ. What is spoken of in the Psalms and in the Pentateuch, I have in full, in the fullness of God. It is true that the first five books of Moses are reflected in the five books of Psalms. What concerns me is the attitudes expressed in these by the believer concerning his relationship with God and men. The things reflected in the five books of Moses, the five books of Psalms, and the current believer may be looked at in this way. In the first book of Psalms, Genesis was the teachings of God concerning man. In the first book of Psalms, we find reflections about man before God. In this day, in the day of the new man, the believer is called from hopelessness into hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The believer in this day will find in the first book of Psalms, Psalm 1 through Psalm 41, attitudes that reflect that the way he should view his given position as redeemed through the gospel. Psalm 25, verse 15, for example, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." The second book of Psalms. In the Pentateuch, Exodus is where Israel is delivered from her affliction. In the second book of Psalms, reflections about the provision of God for his people. He delivered them. And in this day, the believer is redeemed from his position in sin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son." The believer will find in the second book of Psalms, Psalm 42 through 72, attitudes that reflect his view concerning the redemption that is now his through the gospel. The believer, as Israel was, is redeemed. Psalm 49, verse 15, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." The third book of Psalms, Leviticus, "God lives with his people." The third book of Psalms, in Psalm 73 through 89, you find reflections about the blessedness of the care and presence of God. And in this day, the believer has the presence of Christ, or God, within himself. Colossians 1, verse 27. "To whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The believer will find in the third book of Psalms a correct attitude that he should have as a recipient of the grace of God. Psalm 85, verses 11 and 12. "For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from them which walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." In this book of Psalms, a believer will find the correct attitude toward God from those who have received his grace and enlightenment of the knowledge of the Son of God. Colossians 1:10, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." In the fourth book of Psalms, which begins at Psalm 90 through Psalm 106, it corresponds to Numbers, where God sets his people apart. The correct attitude is seen in these Psalms of those whom God has called out for himself. In this day, the believer has received the seal of God, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." The believer will find in these Psalms the same attitudes expressed in this book as expressed in this book of Psalms as The believer will find the same attitudes expressed in this book of Psalms as should be his because he sees himself as set apart by an act of God himself. Psalm 97:11-12. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. In the fifth book of Psalms, the attitudes of those who have the guidance of God in their life is expressed. In Deuteronomy, God gives Israel the word. The fifth book of Psalms, that's Psalms 107-150, the attitudes of those who have the guidance of God in their lives. And in this day, the believer has the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5-13. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Psalm 121:2-5, verses 2, 5, and 7. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. In this study, a way has been examined to help us understand how to use the book of the Bible that are not written to us directly, but for us. The truth that they contain, and in this case the Psalms, is to be found by searching for those who have a similar position of that is of blessedness from God. From these saints, we can learn of their attitudes toward God and men, and see if we have a similar experience in our own lives. The thoughts and attitudes of the redeemed saints of old should be evident in our own souls. For we, as Israel had been given a unique position among nations, so we, as members of the new man among men, we have looked at things that are similar not only in the believers in the past, but also in the present body of Christ. The one thing that we should all understand is that what these saints of old had in part, we now have in full, as partakers of the fullness of God. We have become by faith what these saints only glimpsed at. Position and experience should always be in mind when we study not only the Psalms, but any of the books of God's Word which were not written directly to us. We should understand that the saints of the Old Testament were given their position by being faithful to the revelation that they had revealed to them. We, as members of the body of Christ, have been given our position by being full of the faith of Christ Himself. The position they attained is a picture of our present reality. Their attitudes and longings are the same as all who seek the Lord with a pure heart. In this way, their experience should be the one that we covet. We should be forever mindful of what we are told in 2 Timothy 1:9-14, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. We should be forever grateful.